Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals to talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waving for the video portion of our show, we have Lieutenant Randy Sutton. He needs no introduction. He's the founder of the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org, retired Las Vegas Metro police officer. Randy, I lose count. He's got over three decades of law enforcement experience. And he's an animal lover. So all the women watching the show, they're immediately going to be new subscribers because of that. So thanks so much for being on the show, Lieutenant Randy. Also, our newest addition to the show, retired Secret Service agent Rich Esteropoli. I found him on Fox News. He joined the show yesterday. He did a spectacular job. And you can tell by the way he dresses, he's an overachiever, but we won't hold that against him. But thank you so much for being on the show. A shout out to our sponsors, our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. Complete Technologies, our satellite sponsor. Thanks to them, we're wrapping up our fourth week on satellite radio. Gunlearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.live, and Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. And thanks to them, we're streaming to about 1.5 million people right now. Also, TwoBells.com, they built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. Even the shirt I'm wearing, I got it off the new store. I pay what you guys pay. We're not making a dime off of that. We're just trying to get our stuff out there. So thanks to Two Bells for making that happen. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying our content, as well as Ray Dietrich, ReformerLawman.com, and also LawOfficer.com. So thanks to all these entities for helping make the show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? Here you go, guys. Ex-Georgia police officer pleads guilty in a 2015 killing of who? A naked dude, and he's avoiding more jail time. This guy has been he's a ex-Georgia cop. He's been in jail for a while, and you know, there's some kind of a plea thing going on. We'll fill you guys in on that, and it's a good opportunity to talk about what is expected of you when you're finding a naked guy, because if he's naked and he's unarmed, you go the lethal without going hands-on first, that's a discussion we need to have. Also, we got New Mexico State Police. They released a body cam that shows a shootout between a 75-year-old man that's in a truck and officer. So stay tuned for that one. And also, Thurston County K-9. I love K-9 stories. This K-9 drags our bad guy from underneath the deck of a house, convincingly strong. This K-9, it was a beautiful thing. And it just, icing on the cake was just the screams coming out of the bad guy. He had to go to the hospital for the K-9 injuries afterwards, but he survived. Then we got an Obama drama. Secret Service officers, the same ones, the females we talked about yesterday, suspended after punches thrown outside Obama's D.C. home. So watch that one. We've got a challenge accepted. Sheriff faces down a man who threatened to kill him. They extradited this guy all the way over here to Florida, Sheriff Chitwood. Wait till we talk about that one. Then we got Tyler PD releases body cam footage after a woman discharges an officer's gun during an arrest. And then finally, if we have time to get to it, Johnson police officer shoots a suspect who hit an officer with their vehicle when trying to flee. Boy, the optics of that are just horrible. I mean, a cop getting sandwiched between two cars, not fun to watch. So if you guys are ready, let's start off with the ex-Georgia police officer. This is at Tampa Free Press, so it's TampaFP.com. Ex-Georgia police officer pleads guilty in a 2015 killing of a naked dude and avoids more jail time. So this former Georgia police officer, he fatally shot an unarmed naked guy back in 2015. He pled guilty to aggravated assault on Wednesday, and this means that he's not going to serve any additional time behind bars. And listen to how long this guy's been in jail. Now, his name is Robert Chip Olson. So please don't hold the name Chip against him. He's 63 years old. He entered the plea into DeKalb County Superior Court. The judge's name is Letitia Deer Jackson, and subsequently sentenced him to 15 years with 12 years commuted to time already served. So this guy has been in jail for about 12 years already. The remaining 3 years will be served on probation. Prosecutors announced this. Olson was ordered to complete 100 hours of community service. The case stems from a March 2015 killing of Anthony Hill. And, I may have got that wrong. The death happened about 10 years ago. They gave him 12 years commuted the time. Okay, so he's been in jail for a while, but not quite as long as I originally thought. But he killed a guy named Anthony Hill. He's was a 26-year-old Black Air Force veteran who had been diagnosed with bipolar disorder and PTSD. And our guy Olson, our cop, he was at that time a DeKalb County police officer. He responded to a call about a naked man behaving erratically in an Atlanta area apartment complex. And then he encounters our guy Hill. Officer Olson claimed that he acted in self-defense when he shot Hill. here's how it goes down. And also, let me just mention that the district attorney, Sherry Boston, she made a comment, which, you know, it's noteworthy to me because she says, finally, the cop has accepted some responsibility for his actions. And so if that's true, that's noteworthy in the article. But Officer Olson was initially indicted back in January of 2016 on multiple charges, including murder, aggravated assault, violation of the oath of office, making a false statement. That could be serious. In 2019, in the trial, a jury found him guilty of one count of aggravated assault, two counts of violating the oath of office, one count of making a false arrest. He was sentenced to 12 years in prison, followed by 8 years of probation. So the trial happened in 2019, roughly, you know, 6 years ago. So he got a 12-year sentence, so they just commuted that sentence, apparently. However, Officer Olson appealed his conviction for ag assault and one count of violating his oath. So last year, the Georgia Court of Appeals overturned those specific convictions, which surprised me because we're talking about Georgia. The appeals court ruled that the trial court had erred by admitting the DeKalb County Police Department's use of force policy. They put the policy in the evidence without identifying and redacting portions that actually conflicted with Georgia state law. And that is the same argument that Olson's defense team made before the trial, but of course they were unsuccessful. The appellate decision allowed prosecutors the option to either retry him on the ag assault charges, but not the overturned violation of oath count, which led to the Wednesday's plea agreement. So that's what we have. We have this guy getting out after serving some serious time still. Any commentary on this? And Randy, I know you know firsthand about PTSD, and I don't know how much you know about bipolar. But I know some of the females you've dated in the past, so you probably know a lot about bipolar disorder also. So
very funny. Very funny. Thank you. So there's a lot to this case we don't know the specifics of. You know, what took place that day? Was there a physical altercation? Was the officer, you know, in a situation where, you know, he had exerted himself to a point during a physical altercation? There's a lot we don't know about this. So all we do know, I mean, I don't really give a damn what his diagnoses were. You know, that doesn't mean anything to me. What means something to me is the incident itself and what dangers did that officer face. And we don't know I don't know the answer to that question. So it's hard for me to say, you know, that this was fair or unfair. But when they throw up all the diagnoses, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That's after the fact. The fact is, the question is, was this officer in a situation where there was a physical altercation and he was in danger? That's the question. And we don't really have the answers to that.
Good point. I mean, there is a video, but it doesn't really show the encounter. Rich.
You know, this whole story is just a real mess. Unfortunately, this isn't the first time we've seen this story, right? But to the untrained public, to the prosecutors, this is nothing more than, you know, a heavily armed cop who's well-trained. He shoots an unarmed, naked man. You know, what kind of danger could that guy have been? And that's exactly the problem with this story. Just because the guy is naked and he may have some sort of mental problem, or in police parlance, he's an EDP, an emotionally disturbed person, that doesn't mean he's not dangerous. You know, you can't put yourself in the situation that this cop was in. Cops do not pick the circumstances to which they respond to. They respond to the situation and they've got to make an immediate decision, a judgment call to take some sort of action. And as I remind people all the time, when a cop gets involved in an altercation and he may be in close enough proximity to go hands on hands with someone, he's not just protecting himself or the public. He's got to protect whatever weapons that may be on his person, because you can't take the chance of letting that EDP or any perp get their hands on that weapon. So we don't know enough to really comment on what happened here. Maybe there were extenuating circumstances, but this isn't just as simple as, you know, some armed cop shot a naked man screaming in a hallway. And unfortunately, that's the way this thing gets played out in the media.
Yeah, well, good, excellent points, excellent commentary, gentlemen. I know that, the first flag is the guy's naked, so I would automatically suspect that he's got some kind of a metal thing going on. But we have had some videos, not a lot, I admit, but we have had some that were, we've had some officers that were being charged by people. I'm not saying in this case, because we don't have the video, and actually I looked for it and I couldn't find it, so I don't think there is actually a body cam of this one, but we have had some that were officers are being charged with guys that don't have clothes on. I got to admit, for my 30 years on the street and finding a lot of naked people, men and women, I don't, if I could choose to not do it, I would, but I don't care. I mean, you know, I don't care. It is hard to fight people that are naked. There's not really a lot to hold on to. And I'm talking like clothing. Sometimes if they don't have hair that you can grab onto, especially if they're wet, I've had people right out of the shower and I've had them get away from me and running outside and me chasing them because I couldn't hold on to them. But I do like to see cops go hands on. So if it was a situation where you're being charged with someone without clothes, look, there are still ways you could, in my opinion, could articulate it. If I was a 90-pound female and I had a 300-pound dude, you know, charging at me, clothed or naked, I might be well justified in using lethal force at that point in time. But of course, it's all in well, being so reasonable and articulation.
Agreed.
So, guys, any more commentary on this? Or? And, Randy, you were freezing up a little bit. You want to try that again?
Times we've seen that these...
Okay. And I think Randy's having some audio issues here, Rich. So is there anything else, Rich, that you have on your side?
Or? I totally agree with you. Unfortunately, the people prosecuting these cases have never been in a position where they've had to wrestle anybody who didn't have any clothes on, who was completely whacked out, and God knows trying to do what, right? Let alone have they ever been in a fight. So that's the problem. They can't put themselves in the police officers, the responding officers' perspective. And that's probably what led to a lot of these charges being levied on this officer.
You know, that's a good point. There's not only reluctance to go hands-on, you know, from the people that we're hiring, but some of these guys have really never been in a fight. In training, you know, I wish it was equal all across the country, but it's really not. Guys, we are about 20 seconds out. We're going to take our first commercial break and talk about golf. So stick with us. It's about to get really good. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And, you know, as police officers, we all know that we can buy our gear from a lot of different sources and especially online. But I want to remind you guys about the importance of supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that fits that bill better than Gauls at Gauls.com. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. And they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focus organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, support our title sponsor and go to Gauls at Gauls.com and listen to what they're going to do for you. For the loyal listeners of the show, they're going to give you a code. It's radio15 and you automatically get 15% off your next purchase until June the 31st at Gauls.com. So again, that's radio15 at Gauls.com. 15% off. What a great opportunity. And they have gift cards. We give away 2 gift cards every week on the show. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card and they will be your new best friends. Go to Gauls.com to get that done. Again, Gauls.com. Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. We just talked about a cop that was actually had an encounter, ended up shooting a guy. I'm not even going to use the word bad guy because we don't have a lot of information. We do know that he had some issues and he had no clothes on, but the cop went lethal on him and ended up going to jail for it. They just reached a plea agreement. But he was diagnosed with a PTSD and bipolar disorder. We actually have a Facebook listener that is versed, you know, with bipolar and is supplying us with some additional information. So we do appreciate that, Betty, for that. But Randy had some insight into the situation. So Lieutenant Randy Sutton.
No, the only thing I wanted to add, you know, how many times when people are naked, it's because the drugs that they have taken have overheated their body. And so, you know, you're dealing with a guy that has mental issues and we don't know because we don't know the particulars of this. What was the toxicology on this guy, you know, at the end of the day? So anyway, it's difficult to conjecture a use of deadly force situation without having really the facts.
Right. And you brought up a good point earlier, Randy, that we, you know, they get the diagnosis. And of course, this is after the fact information that we're aware of, but we operate off of action, right? I mean, it really doesn't matter what the guy's being diagnosed with or if he's diagnosed with something or not. It's the actions that he's exhibiting, what he's doing, that dictates what we do, what our response is going to be. So,
but that's what gives the media their meat. This is what they love to do is you throw, oh my God, you need to get sympathy, right? He's bipolar. Oh Jesus. He's a veteran. Oh my God. You know, these cops, he was naked. Ah, geez. This is part of the manipulation that the media plays in the anti-law enforcement, you know, their lobby.
Agreed. Well, guys, if you're okay, let's move on. And we've got another story coming up here. And it's we have 2 stories in a row that have video components. So for our Audible listeners, podcast, radio station, Please stay loyal to the outlets that are bringing you this good quality content. In return for that, we will describe in great detail whatever's going on in the video so that you don't feel like you're missing out on anything. But if we cover a video that you absolutely have to see, and there's one of these involving a canine that may meet that criteria, all you have to do is go to our Rumble channel, because the very next day at 9 o'clock in the morning, our producer creates a special version of the live show. He'll embed every video that we talk about as we're talking about it, put pictures of the good guys and the bad guys that pop up. It's really a great way to watch a show on a Rumble channel. 9 o'clock the next morning, we do that Tuesday through Saturday. So on this particular one, we're at rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. New Mexico State Police, they release a body cam that shows a shootout between a 75-year-old man and officers.
Shots fired. He's shooting. Put your hands up! He's down on the ground. Possibly hit.
And so we're in Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. And this happened on Wednesday. New Mexico State Police, they share this body cam and dash cam video. It shows what happened back on May the 6th, not long ago, when Dennis Richie Jones, our bad guy, was shot and killed after reportedly opening fire on a police officer following a traffic stop in Truth or Consequences. Now, according to the New Mexico State Police, this happened around 12 noon. An officer runs the plates of a white GMC pickup truck. And of course, it comes back to our bad guy, Jones, and it shows that he has an active warrant for probation violation out of Arizona for sexual assault. So our officer pulls Jones over, asking for his license, registration, insurance information. And the body cam doesn't really do us a lot of good initially, because it's low and we're up against this huge truck. So we really can't see inside the truck, at least in the beginning. So you can see from the dash cam, though, the officer is outside the passenger side of the truck. And then all of a sudden he draws his gun because the bad guy ended up producing a firearm. And you see the cop, it's training's, you know, different. So our cop is shooting one-handed as he's running back for cover to his cruiser. And so I wouldn't really say that there was much of a chance that he was going to hit his target, just judging by the way how flimsy the gun was when he was taking the shots. But he shot, I counted two shots initially, but he runs back for cover. And he does good about getting on radio about the threat. And this is in the middle of the traffic stop. And so our cop is now retreated back to his cruiser. And the bad guy in the pickup truck, he ends up speeding away. So the officer climbs into his unit, and now we got a pursuit going. What it doesn't initially show is that apparently the cop had a patrol rifle in his cruiser up front. Didn't have to go in the trunk to get it out or anything. He had it up close and personal. And so that was the biggest takeaway for me. I see Rich nodding his head. So the video then fast forwards and goes to a couple minutes later where the truck is stopped. And now there's a standoff in the middle of a small little country road, it looks like. And the officer can be heard yelling, "Hey, put your hands up or I'll shoot." And all you can really see is like the sling or part of a sling from the rifle kind of hanging down in the body cam. And so the white pickup truck, it's too far away really to see what's going on. But the driver does point a gun at the officer. You can hear what appears to be gunshots being fired. The officer goes on radio, said, "Hey, he's shooting back." And then our officer takes cover behind his unit. And he returns fire with his patrol rifle. And then the guy stops moving. So then they have another time delay. They fast forward. And then 15 minutes later, you got the backup. You got a sniper that's down on the ground in a pronated position. Guy's advancing in the car. And our bad guy inside the truck, he's unresponsive, later pronounced dead. And they've got a gun that they find on scene. So we got about a minute and a half before we take our next commercial break. Rich Jalopoli.
I thought the responding officer did a fantastic job. I don't care if the guy's 75 or 7, right? That gun being there is the great equalizer. I mean, I'll use two examples. Look at the situation in New York. We had a bunch of years ago with a guy named, Stephen McDonald. Cop approaches three kids in Central Park. 15-year-old pulls out a handgun, shoots him. McDonald spends the next 30 years of his life in a wheelchair. You know, go to the other end of the spectrum. Look, I spent 2 years with the U.S. Marshals tracking fugitives. One of the oldest fugitives on the FBI's top 10 most wanted list was 80 years old. How old somebody is got nothing to do with anything. Yeah, you know, the composure that this cop showed in calling the shots fire call over the air was absolutely fantastic. And he had the wherewithal to retreat back to his car. Yeah, granted, you're probably not going to hit the guy with one, but you got to do something. You can't just stand there. And to pursue the guy, he had that rifle in his car ready to go. Does you no good if it's in the trunk of your car or if it's in a case. The guy did a great job. I thought it was a good shoot all the way around. Good job.
But what'd you think about that rifle?
It's fantastic.
Yeah, that was pretty nice, huh? Yeah. Absolutely. Well, guys, we got about 15 seconds. We're coming up on our second commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies. And, you know, Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com, they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing their, and remember this name, CD3. It stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, it's called the Glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And yes, you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention and transitioning to a sidearm or conducted energy weapon, the Glove of Compliant Technologies, they virtually eliminate weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Also watch those cool videos, ComplianTechnologies.com. Now it's time to talk about Blue the Gold at BlueTheGold.com. If you're struggling with the ins and outs and warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to bluethegold.com. They translate search and seizure doctrines into clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to, plus they give the training for free thanks to bluethegold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, they just did one in Plainview and Plainfield. You can go to bluethegold.com today and join thousands of your peers in blue and step up your legal game because, frankly, you and your agency cannot afford not to. bluethegold.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, talking about the day's news and issues from a law enforcement perspective. We've got Lieutenant Randy Sutton from Las Vegas and Rich Staropoli from New Jersey on the show. And look, we're talking about our last story that we just covered was a bad guy, about 75 years old, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, in a truck. And he pulls out a gun on a cop in a traffic stop and shots fired. And then he speeds off. And then he stops on the road during the pursuit. And now him and the cop are at a distance from each other, start shooting at the cop again. Our cop's got a rifle and neutralizes the threat. And Rich Staropoli just talked about that. Randy Sutton is up next. So Randy, the floor is yours.
Well, what happens to bad guys when they're 20 years old? They become old bad guys. They're just as much a threat. They're just, you know, the 75 years of age, we've seen plenty of old bad guys take on the police, and they're just as much of a threat as a 20-year-old. So the age thing doesn't mean anything. This is a committed bad guy. This was a guy who decided he was going to take on the police in a deadly way, and he got exactly what he deserved. I thought the officer did a phenomenal job. He handled himself very calmly, professionally. He was on target. I mean, he was a stud. He took care of business. Now, one thing I want to comment on is at one point, you know, after they neutralized the guy, they had to make the approach. You'll notice that as the two officers made the approach, neither of them had a shield. And that's what I want to talk about, that ballistic shields should be in every police car in America. And, you know, and there's no excuse anymore, because these ballistic shields are literally, they'll protect you from a rifle round, and are only 12 pounds. So that's something that needs to be in every police car. It's not talked about, and yet it should be. So the cop did a great job. Good guys one, bad guys zero.
I love it. And good point about the ballistic shields. You know, you're right. They're readily available now. And I mean, at least have, you know, your super, if you have a, you know, like if you're a PD and you've got a sergeant in charge of like 8 to 12 officers, at least have, you know, the corporal or somebody, you know, that has, they have it available, you know, where they can call for it. But good point. Well, if you guys are you guys ready to move on to the next story with the video component? And actually, I think Gary Gilkey had a comment for Rich asking if you work with a guy named Ed Norris.
Ed Norris. I've worked with a lot of guys named Ed Norris. But I don't know common name, right? I don't know which one you're talking about exactly.
All right. Most of my
time was spent, like I said, in New York, D.C., and then back to New York. So we may have crossed paths. Sure.
All right. There you go. Well, guys, moving along, we've got another story with a video component at rumble.com. This is Butters the Channel. Thurston County K-9. Oh, I'm so glad we're talking about this. Drags a suspect from under a deck after a brief chase. So Thurston County, we're in Washington State, guys. So this police dog helps take a male suspect into custody. This happened early on Saturday morning, according to the Thurston County Sheriff's Office, Sheriff Derek Saunders. So in a social media post, and I love the fact that that they're taking advantage of social media, the sheriff's offices and police agencies, and even the DOJ.
Close your ears.
Out. Out.
Come on.
Come
out.
Here.
But Sheriff Sanders said that a resident flags down a deputy and his police dog, so it's a canine handler, telling the deputy that there is an armed drug dealer driving around West Olympia. So a short time later, deputy tries to conduct a traffic stop in a vehicle with tags that expired in 2022, and the driver drives away and flees from the deputy. So now there's a pursuit. So they go at speeds of up to 100 miles an hour. So this guy really wants to get away. The Evergreen State College is where they're near. A bad guy slides into a tree in a nearby neighborhood. He runs away from the car. And so now we got the foot chase, right? So they use the canine. They're trying to locate the driver. And it's canine ego. You got to love that. But it's with an I, not an E. And he finds the driver hiding under a deck or a raised house. And despite numerous canine warnings to crawl out, this bad guy refuses to, and he ignores commands. And now he's digging through his pockets and his waistband while he's in the crawl space under the house. So that doesn't deter the dog. Our dog goes in and they deploy him. And you've got a beautiful shot on camera, color video of the dog from the side of the house. He is latched onto this guy. But I tell you, Rich, I haven't seen this dog appear super, super strong. He was dragging this guy out. It didn't appear to me the guy was crawling, helping the dog. The dog drags this guy out literally from underneath the crawl space out into the side of the yard. And they put him in custody. They get a search warrant for his vehicle. He's got a loaded 357 Magnum handgun, which is something I would never want to get shot with. Suspect was treated for injuries from the dog bite and then taken to Thurston County Jail for attempting to elude unlawful possession of a firearm. So I suspect he was maybe a prohibited person and hit and run as well. So that's the way that goes down. Rich Scaropoli, retired Secret Service. Love to hear your input on this.
I love every minute of this story. I'm big fan of the dogs, but this guy got exactly what he deserved. You run from the cops, you go to this length of hiding out from the police. This guy's been a guest of the state before. I'm only sorry there weren't two dogs that we could have launched under that deck to drag this moron out. You know, this is a win for the cops. Glad to see none of the cops were hurt. Glad to see the dog was safe. I'm only sorry they didn't rip this perp to bigger pieces.
Wow. And you know, it seemed like his vocal cords were getting strained a little bit. The sound effects coming out of the bad guy's mouth, you know, they sound so tough until they get bit by the canine, and then they scream like little girls.
Oh, that'll do it, right? Everybody's a hero until that dog is latched on to you. Then what are you going to do? I'll tell you what, there were two things I always loved to use for crowd control. One was a dog and the other one were horses. Those were two things I was not going to screw with. And I'll tell you what, even to this day, if I'm in the airport and I see some, you know, customs guys walking around these dogs, whether they're drug dogs, bomb dogs, or, you know, full attack dogs, I give them a pretty wide berth because that's something you do not want to mess with. And that video was perfect to show exactly why. Love it.
Yeah, I've been bitten by so many police canines. But I love them. I love canines, but I know that when they release the dog and they usually announce it, you stop. You know, if you're chasing the bad guy on foot, you freeze like, you know, glue. You just don't move because that dog, it's that fur missile. He's just looking for a moving target, right? You know, and I, and I've been in fights and I don't hold it against the dog. The dog just wants to get the bite, right? And so sometimes it's me, most of the time it's the bad guy, you know, so I love it. But I literally have scars all over my body and I can tell you Lancer, canine Lancer did this one, you know, I can tell you where they're all at, you know, but it's I wear them with pride. Yeah. I wear them with pride. Lieutenant Randy Sutton.
So I got a canine story. It's not a good one. Not a good one at all. I literally just came back from the state of Illinois, where a police officer, young cop, brother's a cop, his father's a cop, his kid's doing a great job, gets in a pursuit, foot pursuit. The canine handler lets the dog go, and the dog bit the officer. But what happened next was heartbreaking. He got subpar treatment, and the leg got infected, and they had to amputate his leg. And then his police department fired him. Mm. And the Wounded Blue gave him the Order of the Blue Heart Award in recognition of his service and sacrifice. But you know, the dog, I got a nice big old scar too. The dog wants to get the bite. But they're dogs are, I love them. This was a perfect example of the proper utilization of the dog. But you know, like every use of force, it can go bad.
Yeah. Well, Randy, well, I'll have you talk about when Rich is done, we'll have you talk about rescuing 911. But Rich, I know you wanted to add something.
I was going to say, you know, I thank God for people like you and your organization, right? Because otherwise, what is this guy going to do? He's just left out there hanging. So, you know, kudos to you and Wounded Blue. I think that's fantastic.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
You guys are doing God's work, helping guys out with PTSD and other issues, Randy. I know that you just got you just finished your book, Rescuing 911. I know a lot of us were waiting for that, and it's on the best-selling list. So can you tell our listeners about the book and how they can get a hold of it? We got about a minute and 40 seconds before we take our last commercial break.
Yep, Rescuing 911, The Fight for America's Safety. It's about 2 years of work. It's easy to read. It's on Amazon.com. It explains really how we got in this criminal justice crisis. Tracks it, tells the truth about it, is a call to action to get involved in your local politics, because the only way we're going to get out of this criminal justice crisis that we're in right now is if the people put the right people into office, and we you know, this, it tracks the media, you know, anti-law enforcement media lobby, the political left lobby, and really discusses how we got to this really significant criminal justice crisis we're in right now. So go to the Amazon.com and get yourself Rescuing 911.
Love it. And Randy, you know, we have a lot of people that like your voice and they find it soothing and they would like to have that voice read them that book. Is there any plans to have an Audible version of that book?
Yeah, I'm actually in the plans to do that. Yep.
All right. I love it. I love it. So, ladies and men, you hear that. So stay tuned for that as well. We're coming up on our third commercial break, guys. So, I will whet the appetite with the next story though. We're getting ready to talk about, it's an update article that we're going to be talking about, and it's, the Secret Service officers that got suspended. So we're going to be talking about that. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, we're going to be talking about GunLearn at gunlearn.com. And you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble: injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But gunlearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, if you have your own agency, you're a chief or a sheriff, the founder, Dan O'Kelly, has got a deal for you. You can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. Go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Again, that is gunlearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block. We're joined by Lieutenant Randy Sutton from Las Vegas Metro and also Rich Deropoli, retired Secret Service. So thanks so much for joining us and being with the show. So guys, well, Rich, did you have any final comments before we cover the update on the Secret Service situation?
No, excited to hear about this update.
I can tell. All right, put your seatbelts on, guys. This is something else. We broke it yesterday, and yeah, there's already an update. RVM News, which stands for Red Voice Media, rvmnews.com. Obama drama, Secret Service officers suspended after punches thrown outside his D.C. home, referring to Obama's D.C. home. So these two Secret Service uniform division officers, I want to make that clarification because Rich made that a very good point yesterday. These officers have been suspended following a physical altercation that happened outside former President Barack Obama's Washington, D.C. residence last week. Now, it started early in the early morning hours on May the 21st, and it was captured by audio and video, unfortunately, and then it went public, which is of course the other unfortunate part of it for the Secret Service on Tuesday. Now, the footage released by Real Clear Politics journalist Susan Crabtree on the social media platform X, it shows two female agents, uniform agents, engaged in a physical confrontation that included shoving and punching. One of the officers can be heard on a, and I'm trying not to laugh while reading this, but one of the officers can be heard on the radio stating, "I need a supervisor out here immediately before I whoop this girl's ass." Crabtree reported that the altercation took place at approximately, and it was 2:30 in the morning outside Obama's neighborhood home. It's about 2 miles northwest of the White House. And in a statement to the New York Post, a spokesperson for the Secret Service confirmed the incident, stated the agency's already taken disciplinary issue. And here's a quote saying the U.S. Secret Service is aware of an on-duty altercation that occurred between two uniformed division officers at approximately 2:30 in the morning on May the 21st. The individuals involved were suspended from duty, and this matter is the subject of an internal investigation. It goes on to say that it's the latest in a string of troubling incidents involving members of the Secret Service's uniform division. See, I pointed that out, Rich. In April of 2024, an officer assigned to then Vice President Kamala Harris's detail was removed from duty following a reported outburst while on assignment. But this is comical. According to multiple accounts, the officer identified as Michelle Herzog, another female officer, began shouting at colleagues and allegedly threw sanitary products at them. Now we got Randy's attention. After being relieved of duty, she reportedly attacked a supervisor. So it gets even better. So I'll leave off there. This is your wheelhouse, Rich. You take over.
You know, Chip, what can I say about this, right? I mean, there's a way to handle certain situations that you may have when you're on duty with your fellow coworkers. This is certainly not how you handle this, right? These two morons have to be fired immediately, right? You want to restore the dignity, the integrity of the Secret Service, because this is going to have international implications. The whole world is going to see this. This isn't some five-man police department, you know, on the outskirts of Sheboygan, right? People are going to take note of this. You got to fire them. But this speaks to what kind of morons the Secret Service has been hiring the last couple of years. And unfortunately, and I've said this previously, you keep hiring incompetence, eventually that incompetence ascends the ladder and becomes management. And you can't get rid of these people. So you've got to get to this while you can. You got these two people, get rid of them. You've got to make your stand somewhere, and this is where it's got to be. Sean Curran, when he became the director, you know, 90 days or so ago, has his hands full. And, you know, it's going to be a tough place to be, but you've got Pam Bondi, you've got an aggressive DOJ, fire these people. Let's move on with this. You can't have this.
Wow. So you're calling for firing. Okay. Wow.
And part of that reason is because I know this is not the first time this has happened, right? This is a pervasive recurring problem with the uniform division. And for those of you that have been to Washington, D.C., if you want to know what the uniform division of the Secret Service is, it's just what it sounds like. These are the security guards that are folded into the Secret Service that primarily are at the White House. But these are also from the ranks of which where we get the counter snipers, who, if you recall, in Butler, it was this uniform division counter sniper who said, yeah, I saw the guy on that roof, but I didn't think I needed to get on the radio and tell anybody about it. That was his testimony. So that speaks to the mental acuity of what the Secret Service is hiring for the uniform division. That's a problem.
You just painted a pretty graphic word picture for me, Rich. So I'm really glad that you added that last part on there. Wow.
Yeah, I'm not making that up. I'm not, coloring it at all. That was congressional testimony. You can look it up, as they say.
Wow. All right. Well, Randy Sutton, words of wisdom for us, Randy, the Wounded Blue. And Randy looks like he might be having a technical issue right now. But wow, you know, and sometimes just the way you put it there, very clear and concise. I'm more aware of the problem than I was before you were on the show today. So thank you.
Yeah, holy mackerel. And part of the premise here was, I guess, one uniform division officer was late in relieving the other one. First of all, it's 2:15 in the morning. What ship gets relieved at that? That's kind of odd. Secondly, you can't pick up a phone and call the command center and, hey, listen, I'm going to be a little late. They're in Washington, D.C. There's any number of reasons why you may be late that are acceptable, but apparently that they didn't even have the competency to even do that. It's ridiculous.
Well, let's jump over to another update story. RVMnews.com, Red Voice Media. Challenge accepted. Sheriff faces down man who threatened to kill him.
Matthew, I'm Sheriff Chitwood. I'm the guy you want to kill. And there's nothing I could do about it. Challenge accepted.
I sent you a sermon. It was from Romans chapter 5, 6 and 7.
But you do know in Florida, a written threat to kill is a felony. You know that. Well, look, just so you know, I'm the one who made sure you came back. And I hope you enjoy your stay at the branch jail.
You violated
my federal rights. I will also tell you that you will not see Mickey Mouse on this trip, and you have to reimburse us for your flight here and for your stay at the county jail. Why don't you look me in the eye and tell me why you want me dead? Why do you want me dead?
I am a Christian.
So am I.
All I can do is to know you are.
So am I.
You are not a Christian.
How do you know that?
Because in Corinthians it says bondsmen are not Christian.
Okay. Well, we're going to take you.
You are not Christian.
We're going to take you where you need to go.
Fine.
We will make sure the cell has rubber in it.
This is over in Florida, and Sheriff Mike Chitwood, I'm a fan. So this Florida sheriff, he personally confronted a guy that's accused of threatening his life during a face-to-face exchange at Daytona Beach International Airport shortly after the suspect was extradited from Washington State all the way down to Florida, as reported by The Blaze. Now, in yesterday's show, Rich made a comment about, you know, when these things go on and you don't confront them, you don't nip it in the bud, then other people get the idea to start doing the same thing because, you know, it's unrestrained. And this is maybe a good example. That Volusia County Sheriff's Office, I've had great work with these guys. Sheriff Mike Chitwood was waiting at the bottom of the airport escalator when this 45-year-old loser, Matthew Moulton of College Place, Washington, he's escorted by law enforcement officers being extradited from Washington State to Florida, and this happened last Wednesday. Moulton are bad guys facing a second-degree felony charge. Second degree. We got 3 degrees of that stuff in Florida, and that's pretty serious. There's only 1 degree higher, and that's first, right? And he's charged with writing or electronic threats to kill or do bodily harm, punishable by up to 15 years in prison under Florida law. And as a bad guy arrives, the sheriff's waiting for him. He says, Matthew, I'm Sheriff Chitwood. I'm the guy you want to kill, and there's nothing I can do about it. Challenge accepted. And the exchange was captured on video and released by the Volusia County Sheriff's Office. And it goes on to say that the confrontation, it stems from a threatening email that Moulton, or bad guy in Washington State, allegedly sent to Chitwood on March the 20th. And according to the arrest affidavit, the message stated, I'm going to have to threaten you with death. It's coming. There's nothing you can do to stop it. Wow. And law enforcement responded immediately. Volusia County Sheriff's Office contacted authorities in Washington State the same day. And our bad guy was questioned at his home shortly afterwards. And then, of course, he made some excuses, but they extradite him down here to Florida. And that's the way it pretty much goes. And they get into the exchange at the airport. Now, it kind of finishes up where they say, Chitwood says in the airport exchange, he goes, hey, you know, you're in Florida, and in Florida, it's a written threat to kill is a felony. And the bad guy says, you're violating my rights. And then he goes, well, I'll tell you that you're not going to see Mickey Mouse on this trip, and you'll have to reimburse us for your flight here and for your stay at the county jail. And then Sheriff Chitwood ended the encounter by escorting Moulton to a patrol car, saying, we'll make sure the cell has rubber in it. And Moulton's currently being held at Volusia County Branch Jail on a $100,000 bond. His court date scheduled for June the 19th. Rich Steropoli.
Hey, listen, I love this story. I think Chitwood did a great job, and I think he exercised more composure than I would have. A guy like this needs two things. He needs to make himself a couple of new friends in a long prison sentence, and he also needs a good punch in the face. I don't know what makes people think they can get away with stuff like this, and then they cite, well, you're violating my rights. I have First Amendment rights. Hey, so does that cop. Okay. And at some point that cop's going to take that badge off. And when he beats the hell out of you for making some sort of statement like that, I can't say I blame that guy. Right. I hope this kid goes away for the next 15 years. And he's going to be meeting some new friends over the weekend while he's in that jail cell. And he's going to be rethinking sending that email again.
Yeah. And, you know, everybody hearing this story will hopefully be thinking about it, too. And there are ramifications, you know, for this. So I love it. I love it.
You know, I think it's great. Again, this goes back to, you know, what we're seeing at the Capitol, right, where you've got these high-ranking, high-profile legislators who they come out and they say, I can say and do whatever I want, and you police, you can't do anything about it, you know, and that just makes its way down to the street level, and this is what we're seeing here. So kudos to Florida. I'm glad they brought him back, and I hope they put him in prison for a long time. He'll be making life today. It's good.
Yeah, yeah. You got to come down and visit us sometime.
Oh, hey, I think it's great.
You ever get down here to Florida?
Not too often, but I will make it a point now. I think it's fantastic.
Excellent, excellent. Hey, well, another successful show. I know that we lost Lieutenant Randy Sutton, but thank you so much, Rich Staropoli, for being on the show as well. I usually take this opportunity to talk about the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. It's Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3 that's helping cops out in the world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. And for $1,000, you can also get not only a really cool-looking guitar, but you get it signed by one of your favorite country music artists, and that is at guitars4cops.com. A shout out to our sponsors, guys. Please support our sponsors, galls.com, compliantechnologies.com, gunlearn.com, bluethegold.com, medicare.life, safewarerecruiting, and twobells.com. And also, you know, we got a lot of entities watching the show. Please support our sponsors. And guys, thanks for your support. We'll look for you back on Monday at 12 noon Eastern. Great show.